Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Let us listen for the Word of God. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him whom by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly, far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So yesterday morning in this space, met Johnny Haney about 9 o'clock, and we're setting up for building those health kits. And Johnny and I were visiting, and he's telling me about going to the Chamber of Commerce banquet and what an incredible event it was. And the Alice Walton received the Sam Walton, Sam Walton Honorable Award. Has only been given a few times because of her innovation, what she's doing to transform this community. And now the new Contemporary Art Museum, the Momentary, yes. A new art museum coming, and world-class trail system. People coming here because of the innovation that's taking place here. As much as they are coming here because of corporations. Innovation. Innovation, it's what fuels our life. It's what gives us meaning. We are involved in a worship study in which we are talking about how we can innovate as Christians. Innovation in Christianity, it kind of sounds today like an oxymoron. Those two words actually go together. But for all of the last 2,000 years, except for about the last 50 or so years, Christians were the ones who innovated society. We built hospitals. We were the first, actually, to build hospitals. We were the first to build schools. We were the first to transform society in major ways. Think of the United States, the abolition of slavery, driven by the Christian church. Suffrage movement, the women's right to vote, driven by the Christian church. Social rights movement, driven by the Christian church. Martin Luther King is a pastor first. The book study that we're following, written by Bishop Gregory Jones, he's a Methodist bishop, he talks about innovation and looking for innovation and where it's being seen in contemporary Christian America. And he says, often Christians are now following what's happening in the business world as we try to get back to the innovation that we used to offer. In the second chapter, he cites the work of Simon Sinek. Simon Sinek is a YouTube and internet sensation. He's teaching us through his TED Talks and through his YouTube videos about how to get to the core questions of life. In fact, his TED Talk now has surpassed 30 million views, one of the most viewed TED Talks that's been produced so far, because he talks about the three major questions that are central to our lives. So that everybody knows and every business knows what they do. At the end of the day, you can look back and say, oh, that's what I did today. And you know how you did it. But Simon says the central question that we all have to answer is why? Why did I do what I did? Or why does a company do what they do? So we live in a community that gets that, right? We're surrounded by Fortune 500 companies. And this is where I take a little bit of exception with Simon. We're surrounded by companies that know why they do what they do. They spend billions of dollars working on their mission and vision statements. They know exactly why they do it, what they do, and how they do it. Take Walmart, for example. What does Walmart do? Audience participation. They save money so you can live better, right off the top of the bat. What Walmart does is they save you money. Now, how does Walmart do it? A little bit more difficult question, unless you work for Walmart or unless you sell to Walmart. What does Walmart do and how do they do it? How do they do it? Everyday low cost. How do you get to the everyday low cost? You negotiate. Efficiency. Walmart has become exceptional at driving cost out of the process. They are incredibly efficient. They even give you a scorecard as a vendor to make sure that you're growing in your efficiency. Some of the younger people here won't know what this is, but there used to be these devices. They were round discs like this with a hole in the middle, and they were kind of shiny. And all of our software used to come on these. They were called discs. And now that you just kind of see them hanging in windows, and they're pretty. But those discs cost. If you wanted to buy Microsoft Office, you would go to Walmart and buy those discs. You'd get a box of discs. $280, a lot. But if Microsoft was just going to sell you this little package of discs for $280, the fear is that you wouldn't see the perceived value there, so you wouldn't buy it. So Microsoft puts it in a great big box. And every software company did this. And the fear was if your box was smaller than your neighbor's, your competitor's box, people wouldn't buy your box. Walmart finally said, enough of the insanity. We're tired of shipping air. We're going to drive the cost out of this. And the packaging was forced to become realistic. Not because the vendors wanted to do that, but because Walmart insisted. Walmart drives efficiency. And the ultimate why? Why does Walmart do this? So you can live better. So you can live better. Now, that's not the most exciting building to work in. It's kind of ugly. Target's got this magnificent. Oh, if you haven't seen it, Target's got a really cool corporate headquarters. And I know Walmart's is coming. But for now, what Walmart offers is the fact that everybody that goes to work has a part in helping people live a better life. Now, that's a mission statement that can motivate your employees. So why? Why are we Christian? Why are we here in church today? Just a moment of silence to think about that. And a serious question. Why? Why follow Christ? Change your life. Yeah. Change the world. Transformation. Yes. Transformation questions. So I offer the perspective that our gospel today was written either by Paul or one of his very close disciples. We aren't sure. But for argument's sake, let's say Paul wrote Ephesians. This was written by somebody who knew how to innovate. Paul was an innovator. See, Paul was a Jewish theologian. The Jewish people did not evangelize. There was no need to go talk to the Gentiles and try to convert people to become Jewish, because Gentiles didn't have a soul. They weren't really human beings. They were just really walking soulless enemies. And I'm not exaggerating. The Jewish people did not see a need to go evangelize. It wasn't part of their theology. Paul is transformed. Paul meets Christ. Paul has an encounter, and Paul goes and transforms the world. He teaches us what it means to go out and minister. And how does he do it? He goes and sews tents with people and talks to them by the riverside. He tells them about how Jesus has transformed his life, and that he, who was raised as a Jewish person that wanted to persecute anybody that thought differently, has had his mind changed and realizes that people who think differently aren't enemies. They're beloved children of God as well. So Bishop Gregory offers us a perspective on our purpose as Christians. What are we to do? We bear witness. We bear witness to what Jesus has done for us. We just offer our example. We live by example. St. Francis says, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Had lunch with a friend of mine this week. Hadn't been to this particular restaurant in some time. And he said, it's been a couple weeks since I've been there. Let's grab lunch there. And he said, I want to talk to Michael. And I thought for a moment, am I supposed to know who Michael is? You know that kind of moment of terror when you think, oh, I've forgotten somebody. I've forgotten something important. Who is this Michael? Well, I get there and Michael was the bartender. My friend just happens to know everybody that works there, and he was concerned because he hadn't talked to Michael in a while, and he wanted to check on Michael and see how he was doing. He's not there trying to convert anybody. He's there living life with people, letting them know that they are loved and cared for. And we had a great conversation with Nate. Nate's the guy who came to serve us. My friend knew Nate also. We just talked about the things that were going on in his life. Witness. How do we do it? We're ambassadors. We engage in conversation. We talk to people. Or we pray for people. Or we help people in some way. And now the why. For me, I follow Christ in thought, word, and deed because it is in acting out my Christian role that I begin to see others and myself as God sees us. It is in serving God that I experience the power of God transforming my life and the lives of people around me. I follow Christ because in living the way he offers, I am participating with him in making his kingdom on earth ever more perceptible to everyone so that someday all people might experience the glorious joy of a relationship with God. In his letter to the Ephesians that Pastor Rebecca read to us, verse 14 begins with, for this reason. For this reason. That's a why indicator. It tells us that we need to go back and look for the reason. So we go one paragraph ahead, verse 7. Of this gospel, I have become a servant. See if I gave that to you. Of this gospel, I've become a servant according to the gifts of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what was the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That's why. Because I have experienced God's power. Have you experienced the power of God flowing through you? It's available. Have you experienced the boundless riches of Christ? The boundless riches. Eric, life is hard. Life is really hard. Yeah, I know 500 people lost their jobs this week, 500 families. Life is hard. But in the midst of that, Jesus is also there. I was visiting with another person this week who had had a very difficult time. He's had a very difficult life. And at one point, the depression got so bad, she wasn't sure she could make it through. And she was praying, God, I can't live this way. I can't even get out of bed. And thought she was losing her mind. I said, God, if you are there, you're going to have to do something because I can't do this. And she said somehow she just knew. She didn't hear words, but somehow she just knew that God was speaking to her. And she knew God was saying, I love you. I love you. And I am with you right now. In this, I am with you. And I will walk with you until you get through this. And now, she shares that witness with people who are in similar situations as she is. And she is a Christian. She can answer the why because she knows God loves her. She knows Christ loves her. She knows Christ is with her because Christ has been with her. And the only reason she is alive today is because Christ is with her. I offer the perspective that the Christian life is a reflective life. We have to reflect on how God is working in our lives. And if we reflect on how God is working in our lives, then we should see where God is working in our lives. And then we have a witness to share. When somebody asks Ken, why do you do what you do? He can say, because I have experienced Christ. Ask Ken and Casey about ministry, and they'll tell you about 2 years in Scotland, not knowing what they were doing, but God guiding them through. Testimony. Have you begun to experience the rich variety of the wisdom of God? The rich variety is out there waiting for us, but it comes in the form of other people. We are the spiritual hub of Bentonville. We are the spiritual heart of Bentonville. I saw it yesterday morning. And when Johnny and I started talking about putting this health kit program together, Johnny is a very positive guy. He never says no. Well, he might say no to you guys. He's never said no to me. But last year, all of the kits we put together, we put 1,200 kits together. Took an entire year to do that. Of asking and asking and asking groups to work together on that. He said, Johnny, let's put 1,200 kits together in one shot and take them down to UMCOR with the team that goes down. Because now we have people in our congregation that said, we need to start doing ministry. We need to start taking people to do ministry. And the Dunns have said, we're going to Sager Brown, which is the distribution center. So we're sending them with 1,140 kits. We ran out of towels. But watching that unfold yesterday, when Johnny and I are setting the tables up, thinking, I wonder if we'll get 10 people. Hopefully we'll get 12 people. We get 12 people, we can probably get 500 kits together. And then we can slowly build the rest of the kits out over maybe a month or so. I ran over to our car care team. I see a bunch of the guys here that were doing car care yesterday too. Ran over to them, make sure that they had it under control. Came back, and this place was filled. And in the half an hour I was gone, we'd already completed 500 kits. That's the congregation engaging in ministry. That's becoming the spiritual heart of Bentonville. And we are going to continue to ask, continue to offer opportunities, continue to invite the congregation to get involved in ministry, but not just get involved in the ministries we invent, because the pastors can't invent the ministries that are going to transform this community. We ask you to innovate. We have three classes this afternoon talking about various stages of this. If you just want to know who God is, come to the Alpha class, 4:00. If you want to know how to experience God, if you want to know how to know God, come to Journey 101. If you want to talk about innovation, Kurt was tearing, actually, Pastor Rebecca and I were tearing big sheets of paper. We're going to fill the parlor today with sheets of paper, and there's going to be a brainstorming session with the team that's working. Come innovate. Come help transform Bentonville. Come help make us achieve our vision of becoming the spiritual heart of Bentonville, a mission station for the transformation of lives, for connecting with people who are far from home and far from God. And in Jesus' name, I pray that this may be so.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.